Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, there's a picture of a potter molding the clay, okay? Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Let's read all the seven verses together. This is a very important passage. Gigi, the whole of Romans is very important, but to help us in our thinking, after what happens after we become a Christian, okay? Verse 1, Romans chapter 6, ready? Let's read all until verse 7. 1, 2, go. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know we not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts in a special way with regards to this whole area, Lord, of sanctification, being dead to sin, alive to God. Lord, I pray for one who understands this truth, but Lord, finding it a struggle, help them to understand more and more that they might grow. For those who claim that they are Christians, I pray, Lord, but they have never heard about this truth, about us being baptized into Christ. I pray today you help them to understand the reality of our salvation and our spiritual standing before God, and how we are to live out that life as believers. So Lord, I commit this 40 minutes or so into your hands. Lord, speak to us through your word in a special way. For one who do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray today will be a day of salvation for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We've been going through from Romans chapter 6, in the book of Romans, the first three chapters, the Apostle Paul dealt with the doctrine of sin and condemnation. Okay? The Bible teaches in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in chapter 4 and 5, Paul deals with the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. That all of us, remember I gave you the illustration, we were sinners here, and we can never come to God who is over here. And then there's the cross, and God says, the only way I'm going to meet you is at the cross, because that's where Jesus paid for our sin. And so the sinner must come acknowledging his sin, repent from it, and put faith in Christ. And that's where God makes peace with us, okay? And so in Romans chapter 4 and 5, there's justification by grace through faith in Christ. What happens after that? In Romans chapter 6 onwards to chapter 8, Paul draws out a very important passage whereby I think it's sadly missed by many Christians, because the way they live Christian lives after that is, after I'm saved from sin as a Christian, I can do what I want. Paul actually begins this whole area of the doctrine of sanctification. Okay? And I was just looking at some pictures to hopefully grasp that. I got this picture of a potter and a clay. Sanctification is basically God accepting the way we are, and after becoming a Christian, God molding us into the way he wants us to be. And God molding us requires a lot of work on his part and cooperation on our part. And today we want to look at some of the basic processes. Okay, in Romans chapter 6, there are four things that we need to know in sanctification. That is the knowing, there is the reckoning, there is the submission, and there is the obedience. And over the next 4 weeks, we'll deal with it one by one, because the passages actually deal with them. Paul actually deals with them individually. Today, we'll look at the whole area of knowing. That's why sanctification, knowing, is the title for today. Paul begins his introduction in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In verse 2, God forbid, How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul refers to, this is actually an introduction to the entire Romans chapter 6. He says, okay, so what shall we say? Now that we are saved from sin and its effects. Remember, before we were saved, sin controlled us. We cannot but sin. We cannot but sin. And even if we do something good, it's because of ourselves. That's pride. But after we become Christians, after we realize, hey, we are so condemned in sin, God cannot save us without Jesus, and we come to Christ, and all the sin that we have ever committed by our words, by our heart, by our thoughts, and by our actions, every single sin has been covered by the eternal Son of God at the cross through His grace. We don't deserve it, but because Jesus has died for us, and He is willing to extend His hand of forgiveness to us, and by faith, understanding our sinful condition, we turn from it and we put our faith in Christ. God extends His grace towards us, meaning, simple illustration, I'm an orphan, I have nothing in this world, and then a very rich man see my rotten condition, I may not be the best person, but the rich man comes, I'm going to adopt that guy. And after I've been adopted by God, this rich man, he said, okay, son, you go into that room, that's your room. Those shoes, those are yours. Monday you're going to school, I've enrolled you in the school. I said, what? That's your bank account. And God gives us everything we ever need to live the life. Remember, Christians, God didn't just set us free from sin. He made us free to live. Does that make sense? That's grace. God didn't just set us free from sin. He made us free to live the Christian life in a way that will honor Him and bless people around us. Okay? And so Paul goes on to say, now that you are saved from sin, what shall we say then? We are justified by faith. We are saved by grace. We have access into God. And then he says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? The word continue in sin means, are we going to stay in that sin? After all that God has done for you, can we stay in that sin? So that God can continue to bless us. It is like someone rescued us from $1 million debt. We owe something that we cannot pay. And someone pays for us. And then we go out and loan more money for our own pleasure. You know, a person that has been saved from that kind of debt, they cannot get out of, and someone comes and saves him, what is the proper response to that person who saved us? Paul says, can you continue in your sins so that you can continue to enjoy the pleasures? You know, many Christians have this thinking, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, therefore I can do what I want. I'm going to show you from this passage, 7 verses, Paul actually teaches a very important truth about knowing who you are. Knowing who you are, okay? Now, this might be a little bit of a visual chart for people. Okay, there's English and Mandarin. I'll just read the English part. People who are Mandarin, you can read the Mandarin part. Judicially, the believer therefore is dead to sin. Before God, you're dead to sin. The old man spiritually is crucified, put completely to death in the death of Christ. And the believer is alive to God in Christ. But this wonderful part of the gospel must become a reality in the life and experience of the believer. God beholds us as dead to sin in Christ and alive in Himself. This must be lived out. This is the solemn responsibility of the justified believer. And we are not to do this in our own strength, but in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is also given to the believer. That simply means, I'll just summarize, before God, we were enmity with God. Like Trump, Donald Trump, and North Korea, they were enemies with one another. And Singapore is going to be the meeting place whereby they're going to try to drop some peace thing. You know what? I wouldn't say Trump will be God. Neither would I say North Korea. We are all sinners. And I don't think it's a good illustration, but you know, between God and us, we were like Kim Jong-un. there's nothing but devastation when it comes to sin in our lives. But you know, God is so caring and so loving that He's willing to meet with us at the cross. But you know what? When we actually submit to God and says, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, He unites us. So before God, we have peace. Now, that doesn't mean everything else is okay, but at least there's that initial peace. Now, we have peace with God now, all right? So that peace that God has given to us makes us a child of God after that. The sin in us has been put away. It has been crucified. The old man in us as believers, you know, some of us struggle with sin. If you struggle with sin, you're alive in Christ. If you don't struggle with sin, you are not a Christian. When you think of doing wrong, you say, okay, I can do wrong. But if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is not going to let you go. You can't. Okay? But God says that part of you that want to do wrong has been crucified. And now God sees us as an adopted son. He expects us to go to school to get an education. He expects us to call Him dad. He expects us to know that all the privileges He has in the home. We are to live like an adopted son, not live like an orphan last time. Does that make sense? We have to be very clear on this. We were orphans in sin, but God has adopted us. He wants us to live that life. We don't adopt a son and keep him at home. He needs to live that life so that he can have a full life. That's what God wants with us. We just want to highlight three things from Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 7. Paul says, I'll just begin by once again reiterating, what shall we say then? Can we stay in sin so that we can continue to live by God's grace? Paul says, no. God forbid. All right? Heaven forbid. And the idea is, I pray that this is not so in your mind. Paul is pleading with the Roman Christians, after you are saved, I'm pleading with you, God forbid, that you can think that after all that Jesus has done for you, you can continue in sin. Paul says, no, no, no. The Greek has emphatic kind of pounding pulpit and said, no, you can't do that anymore. God forbid. That's what he's saying. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay? And I'm going to explain this. Firstly, in sanctification, we need to know that we have been spiritually immersed into Christ. Spiritually immersed into Christ. Romans 6 does not teach water baptism. I want to make it very clear. It is spiritual baptism. All right? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, you can turn there if you like, but I'll just read. Remember John the Baptist? When the Pharisees came for him to be baptized, John looked at them and said, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3, 9. And then he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh one after me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that's salvation, and with fire, that's judgment. In other words, John the Baptist, at the beginning ministry of his life, he told the people, I am not the Messiah. I am just a forerunner. There is one coming after me, the Lord Jesus himself. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at the teachings of the apostles, that's exactly what they taught. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, immersed into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. When we get saved, at the point of salvation, we have been spiritually immersed in Christ. This is a Bible doctrine. This is what Paul is saying. Don't you know, when you get saved, you were spiritually baptized, all right? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, Paul, in another passage, expounds this a little bit more. Colossians 2 verse 11. Colossians 2 verse 11 says, in whom also ye were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now we all know what circumcision is, okay? of the male or the female, this circumcision. But Paul, the Jewish people prided on the physical circumcision. Every male child had to be circumcised of their private parts at the eight days, okay? That illustrates they are part of the Jewish nation. But Paul is not talking about the physical circumcision, he's talking about the circumcision of the heart, okay? The circumcision of the heart, Colossians 2:11 says, a circumcision made without hands, that means it's a spiritual operation of God, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, referring to the crucifixion. It refers to the crucifixion. When Jesus Christ died, he put to death sin. That's why he said, it is finished at that particular point. In verse number 12, and then buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. You know what happened in your life, Christian? You were a sinner here. You met God at the cross. And when you put faith in Jesus Christ, God's got to do some heart operation on you. And what he did was, firstly, he took what Jesus had done, dealing with the sin, he put to death sin in your own life. Okay, after this, we'll talk about it a bit more. In the baptism and the immersion into Christ, whatever Christ done, we are part and parcel of that. Okay, so Jesus Christ was crucified. Okay, in the spiritual baptism, firstly, we are crucified with Christ. That's what the Bible says. We are crucified with Christ, pretending you are here, and now by faith you put, you believe in Christ. So what you do, you partake of what Jesus did. Jesus was crucified on the cross. For what? What was Jesus Christ crucified for? For our sin. He had no sin. He was crucified for our sin. So when we trust him, the Bible teach, we get crucified spiritually on the cross with him. All the sins of our life were put on Christ and we hang on the cross together with him. All right? So in the spiritual baptism, we are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. That's what Paul says. He's saying my old life is gone. My sinful desires, my lust, my flesh is gone. I'm crucified with Christ. When we are crucified with Christ, our sins are nailed to the cross. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2 again. It's a wonderful passage over there. And God gives us such clear indications of what it means when we are crucified. When we become a Christian, we have been crucified with Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12, we've read that in verse 13. And you, referring to us as believers, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Okay, notice this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. We had a handwriting of ordinances against us. Okay, Johnny, liar, murderer because he hated people, thief because he stole. All these are the ordinances against us. When Jesus Christ died, they had to pierce his hands into the wood, yes? Can you think of a practice today that we do? You go to Zitai, you know, you go to those hawker centers or you go to a restaurant. Okay, now it's more electronic in restaurant. But during the Zitai, you know, those hawker centers, after you have paid the bill, how many rice? 6 bowls, $3. Fried chicken, $8. Fish head curry or whatever. So all has been itemized. You have to pay $138, right? After you have paid it, what do? They put, there's this sharp thing, right? And then they put it in. What does it mean? It's been paid. Now that seems to be a Singaporean illustration, but you know that's what exactly Jesus Christ did. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, all our sins were written on him. And when Jesus Christ was pierced, God said, paid in full. Paid in full. Everything has been paid for in Christ. when we receive Jesus Christ, we take our sins now onto Him, paid in full. Does that make sense? We are crucified with Christ as Christians. Every single thing that you have ever done that was wrong, that will ever be wrong, because God, being Jesus, being eternal, He's an eternal God, He's an infinite God, He died an infinite death to pay an infinite number of sins, to save an infinite number of sinners for a whole eternity. That's the power of our God. When we get saved, every single sin has been paid for. I don't know about you, that spiritual baptism is strong. It's powerful. It saved us from all sin. That was what Paul is talking about. That was why Paul says, what? Can we continue in sin? That grace, what God has did, God has saved you from everything. Can you do again what God? No. No. Going back to Romans chapter 6. And then in the baptism, we're baptized into Christ. We were crucified. We were nailed to the cross. Then after we are dead, the Bible says in Romans 6, for therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Spiritually, we have died to sin. Because after the crucifixion, what did they do to Jesus Christ? Take His body down, put it in the grave. Okay? All the sin, everything that Jesus had borne was put in the grave. Romans 6, 4 says, Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That part is gone. Through our spiritual baptism in Christ, all the sins has been dealt with spiritually. That's what Paul was referring to here in Romans chapter 6. Psalm 103 and verse 3. 103 and verse 3, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know why east is from the west? You know why east is from the west? Because the east and the west will never meet. They will never meet. West is forever west. East is forever east. And the two will never meet. So far as the east is from the west, so far has God separated us from our sin. Christians, if you are saved, you have been crucified with Christ. And in that crucifixion, God dealt the death blow on the control of sin over your life. I want that to sink in. If you're a Christian, you will be able to receive that because the Holy Spirit will teach you that. But number two, in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, let me go on from there, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we shall walk in newness of life. We have a new spiritual life that we should walk in. Remember I told you that all the sin has been buried in Christ? What did Christ do at the third day? He rose again. Question, when He rose up from the grave, did He bring His sins out? Did He bring the rottenness out? No. It was left forever, and Jesus came out with a glorified body and everything was new. You know what? In Romans 6 verse 5, the Bible says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. If we have been planted, what planted means if we have the same identification with Him in the likeness of His death. In other words, when we died with Him, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. When we have gone into, where we have been spiritually crucified with Christ, our sins are in the grave. God says in that operation, the instantaneous way, God, what God did was He gave us new life through His Spirit that He puts into us. Now I want to deal with something very important because there are two parts to it. Number one, we died to sin. If spiritually God has raised us up, we actually have new life. He's raised us up from the deadness of sin and given us life. We're supposed to live in the newness of life. Does that make sense? That's God's spiritual operation in our life. We need to know this. You need to know this. And there are two aspects. Number one, sin. Sin. We died to sin. What did Jesus die for? He died for sin. He died to deal with sin. He died to deal with the effects of sin. He died to deal so that we can be loose from the control of sin. And Christians, that's why Paul says, how can you continue in sin since you have died to it? So you've died to it. You cannot continue in sin. And sin won't have any control over you. After I'll practically expound that, this is an important truth. And it begins, in order to be a Christian, a genuine Christian, salvation deals with sin. It deals with sin. Because Jesus died for sin. And when God saves us, he has to deal with that spiritual part of sin first before we are raised in newness of life. Okay? There was one particular man who asked, a preacher asked, oh, I've been saved. And the preacher said, saved from what? Are you saved from sin? Are you saved from your immorality? Are you saved from your drunkenness? Are you saved from your lying? Are you saved? These are sins. Oh, my brother Johnny, you know I'm not perfect. When we are able to condone sin, we have not been saved from sin. When we understand what sin has done to our Savior, we don't ever want to be part of that. I was with Brother Francis, and he said, I need to take care of my diet now because of all the... Brother Francis' arteries was clogged 90%. Okay, that was a very serious one. But so he wants to be very controlled over his diet. And so what happened was, yesterday we had some pizza in our youth. Okay? It should have come for you, man. We got three big pizzas. All right? Hannah said, no, my dad said I cannot eat that. Because of the fear of health problems. When someone has reached the point of realizing that I could have died, but Jesus saved me, I don't want to touch that sin again. Does that make sense? Believers in Christ, if you are a genuine believer, that is the thinking that God wants us to have. That sin is absolutely sinful. And as a believer in Christ, I don't want any part to do with it. That's knowing. Some people may ask, Brother Johnny, does that mean we're perfect? No, we're not. We will still fall. We will still stumble. But a believer in Christ will not stay in that kind of sin. It's, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it, Lord. I'm weak, but you are strong. In fact, when we are so convicted by our sin and we've fallen into sin, you know what we'll do? We'll go back to God. God, please help me. I need cleansing. I need cleansing. You know, some of us watched Chinese fighting movies last time. So the first time when a disciple fights against this very strong guy and he gets beaten very badly, you know, it makes him angry, right? You know what he does? He has two choices. That means don't want to fight anymore, or he go back, I want to learn more so I can overcome. Right? You know what Christians do? When they sin, you know what they say? I'm human one. That is not what God means. God wants us to, we will fall, Christians, we will fall. I fall, I confess to you, I fall. I've shared with you again with my wife sometimes, and I'm wrong. I have to confess that sin. I fall. But when I fall, knowing what Jesus has done for me, I'm not going to say I'm a human. What I expect my wife to want. No. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. Strengthen me once again. Give me your grace. Give me your power. Because I don't have to live under the control of anger. There are some people who will lose their anger very quickly and say, I'm human, why? You know the context. No, you're a Christian. If you are saved, you need to know you're a Christian. And that God is able to help us overcome any sin. Because he has already freed us from sin. Okay? And so I want to make it clear. You know what that is at salvation? That's repentance. That in your mind, you've changed your mind. I don't want to play with sin anymore. My heart, I don't want to stay with sin anymore. And then you're living for Christ. I'm going to run as far away and live for Jesus. Because he's going to help me not to sin and to honor God. Salvation always begins with repentance. Always begins with repentance because the Bible's theology is very clear. If you do not deal, Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Unless you deal with your sin. Brother Johnny, does that mean I could deal with every single sin? No. But it must be, in your mind, you are very clear from now on, I have offended God. My sin has offended God. And Lord, I come to you, I humble myself, I'm a sinner, I'm sorry, forgive me. That mind frame that God puts in our mind and our heart leads us to repentance, because it was our sin that killed him at the cross. In illustration, I can be a gambler, and as a result, I loan money, I lend money. I just can't help myself, because I really, you know how people gamble, they think that the next time they'll be more lucky. They will earn more. So they keep borrowing money the next time. But it just gets them deeper and deeper. But then after all that, it comes to the family and say, look, the Ahlongs are after me. And then the wife lovingly say, I don't agree with what you do. But to deal with the 200,000, I'm willing to sell the house. So you pay your debt. If the husband looks at the wife and the children, and after he has thought, wow, my wife is willing to sell the house to pay my debt, do you think the husband will go back to the debt? Go back to his sin of gambling? Do you think he should? Do you think? No. That's what Paul was referring to. After all that Jesus has done for us, how can we even continue in sin? Repentance is a mindset that says, sin is absolutely horrible. It is absolutely, it cost the life of the Son of God, the one who loved me. How can I ever go back there again? What? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? God forbid. How can he that is dead to sin live any longer therein? Christians, there is no excuse for us to want to sin if we know of what Jesus has done. Oh, that's the beginning part of sanctification. When we realize we've got to get rid of that, because how can I continue after all that God has done for me? That is what Paul means when he says the love of Christ constrains me. That is what he means. You know what Paul means? When I look at the love of Christ, I cannot sin because of what he's done for me. We have new spiritual life. Number one, we died to sin. We have to deal with sin. But you know what? After we have done that, we are raised in newness of life. You know, when the Lord Jesus, the Bible says we are raised like him, we'll be in the likeness of his resurrection. When Jesus was on planet Earth, before he was crucified, he was limited by his physical body. He was limited. He can't do many things, or he still maintained his divinity, but he cannot be anywhere that he wants to be. Okay? He was limited by the flesh. But once he came out from the grave, he was set free. He could go anywhere he wants. He is free to live with God. You know, when we have been spiritually baptized, and we are raised in the newness of life, that's exactly what God says. You are free from the control of sin. You don't have to live in sin anymore. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 5, that's why it says, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Point number three, our old self is crucified, is dead. Knowing this, the old man, for the benefit of maybe newer believers or some of our friends, when we are born, we have an old nature called the sinful nature. In Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So every baby that born into the world, cute as they may be, all right? Eliza comes in, and this message is distracted. because everyone will look at the baby and start playing with the baby. I mean, that's natural. That's normal. They're cute. But you know what? In the cuteness of the little ones that are born, there is an underlying sinful nature. The sinful nature can make... I had a friend who in my workplace, I do work part-time to support my family. One of my colleagues just gave him birth. One of my other colleagues, you know, they have this chat group and say, oh, your baby is so cute. What a cutie pie. And then the mother who just given birth says, she's a cutie pie, except when she's crying. Other times you can play with her, it's fun, but when she's crying, she's a monster. Okay, you don't want to be around her. We still have our sinful nature. And as a child grows up, that's why a lovely, cutie pie of a boy or girl can become an absolute gangster when he's 8 years old or 10 years old. Why? Because of the sinful nature. No mom and dad in this room will train your children to be a gangster. Right? Why is that? Sin? It's sin. Okay? And so as they grow up, but when Jesus Christ meets them and they give their life to Christ, the first thing God has to deal with is to deal with this gangster of a sinful nature. He's got to crush that control. That's what Jesus did at the cross. He dealt with sin. He dealt the death blow so that sin no longer controls us. And then we can be the sweet cutie pie again at 16, 17, 18, 19 years old again. And how I have seen people's lives change, people being gangsters. Recently, I think President Donald Trump, I don't know why, it was such a blessing. He was talking about this man who grew up as a gangster. He was in prison. He was captured by the FBI. Some of you may have seen that. I don't know whether you've seen that. It was on YouTube. And President Donald Trump invited this black man. He was about maybe 30, 40 years old. And Donald Trump actually said, in prison, someone shared to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his life has changed. And now this black man, okay, I'm calling him black, this black man is influencing thousands of people in prison for Christ. And then Donald Trump asked the FBI agent who put him away to stand beside him, the one who arrested this guy and put him in prison for many years. And now they're friends. Would you be friends with a police officer who threw you in prison? You know, that's really hard. You know, this guy is a hardcore gangster. He was arrested for armed bank robbery. But you know what made that change? It's interesting. The faith in God and prayer. And you know what? The thing that made this FBI agent who arrested him and this black man friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They made a change in their heart. You know, our gospel is so strong, lives will change. If life was not changed, you need to change your God. But I know my Savior is able to change anyone. But he's got to deal with the old life. The old self is crucified. It is dead. The sinful nature has been destroyed. Romans chapter 6 verse, that the old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The word destroyed means to be neutralized, to be nullified, to be stripped of his control. In other words, now we no longer have to submit to the sinful nature, but we can submit to God. We can submit to God. There was another illustration of a man, this was Pastor Johnny, some of you may know, he gave this illustration that he used to work with a man who would roll an eye for every passing girl, you know, whoa, you know, and do all those things. But then after he got saved, he went out lunch with this Pastor Johnny, and then, of course, his old man was still in the whole sinful nature, and then this girl walked past, and then she looked, and he started to look at the girl, and, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. And then Pastor Johnny smiled at him and said, you're saved. Why? Because in the past, for the many years that this Pastor Johnny knew this guy, any girl that passed, he would whistle and he would do all kinds of rude remarks and he'd think nothing of it. But the moment he got saved, he started saying, hey, I shouldn't be doing that. Ralph, I'm sorry, God, you know. He started to chide himself. Why? The difference, the Holy Spirit is inside of him now. He has a new nature. Just because Christians, the old self is destroyed. From now on, the Bible says, henceforth, we should not serve sin. The Lord Jesus Christ killed sin in our lives so that we don't have to follow our sinful lusts ever again. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We are free from the control of our sinful nature. As I conclude, do you know that you're Christians? Do you know you've been baptized with Christ? The whole process of you being crucified, your sin, nailed to the cross, paid for, buried with Christ, and then when Christ rose up, you have the same newness of life. You're set free. You're set free. Okay? You're set free. Do you know that? When we have been made free from sin by Christ, we are now free not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. Just ask you three questions as I close. Number one, if you're a Christian, what are you saved from? What are you saved from? You need to answer that question. At the point when the person shared the gospel with you, he will probably mention sin, you're a sinner. And then if you trust Christ, you'll be saved from hell. That's generally the way evangelism has been. But what are you saved from? If all you are being saved from hell, you're not saved. Because hell is a fringe benefit. You know, Jesus did come to save us from eternal damnation, yes. I cannot deny that. But what causes eternal damnation? It's your sin. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Christians, when you have trusted Christ, you are saved from sin. I'll give you three thoughts. Number one, if we are saved, we cannot continue in sin. Let me clarify that. Because in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, Paul goes on to mention the struggle we will have. Because, you know, we have our own nature. Yes, it's been nullified. It's been neutralized. Doesn't mean it's dead yet. It's still in our body. You know why we die at the end? You know why we die? Because we are still in this sinful body. The sinful nature is still in us. But God gives us a new nature to fight the old nature. And the more we yield to the old nature, the more we feed it, the old nature gets stronger. We will become more worldly. It's okay to sin even as a Christian to us. But the Holy Spirit is constantly there to remind us, no, you can't. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead to sin. You need to honor the Lord. You need to glorify Him. You need to follow Him. And that's why many Christians struggle. You need to understand this part of God molding you. And Christians, if someone comes and tells you shouldn't be living this way, don't fight them as a Christian. Say, why? Because God is molding you. Remember the potter at the corner? You know what potters do? Remove. My brother Jaheen was guiding us in how to actually make the little pottery things. Because my fingers are big and clumsy, and the potter is so small. It's really hard to sometimes smoothen some of the things. It takes work. But it takes us to cooperate with the potter, our Lord Jesus Christ. In sanctification, put simply, is God making us into His likeness. But we need to know that we've got to submit to the potter. We cannot continue in our sin. If we are saved, we cannot continue. God has removed that desire for sin through our repentance. Once we've repented from sin, it means that I'm not going there again. Like, remember the Along, the loan shark, and the gambler of the if the wife is willing to sell the house, pay off the $200,000 debt, so that the husband can start all over again, do you think the husband will go back to his gambling? If he does, the husband is an ungrateful wretch. Would you say that? He has not understood what someone else had done for him. As a believer in Jesus Christ, my appeal to you is that Jesus died and paid it all for us. Christians, if we are saved, we cannot continue in our sin. That's the first point. But number two, if we are saved, we do not have to continue in sin. Why I say that, some people say, Brother Johnny, you know, I'm a human being, so you cannot blame me for these things. I will tell you, yes, I know you're a human being, but you are a Christian. You have a choice. Many people ask me that. And I have to think through it. How do I give a Bible answer? If you say you're a Christian, then you need to ask yourself, does my human flesh control me, or does my Christian life in Christ control me? I'm not saying your situation we do not have to look into, because some of our brethren here do go through very tough situations. Say, God, how in the world can I be a Christian and love this person who did so bad things to me? If Jesus, that's why our life in Christ is so important. That's why it's so, I've worked with some of you and I know the pain that you go through as you look at the practical problem. God, how am I supposed to be a Christian with this person and that person? Lord, they're so unreasonable. And it's not a one-time thing, it's a continuous unreasonable. How am I supposed to love that person? No, as pastor, I sympathize with you. But the only way that you can truly love that person is when you get alone with Jesus Christ and learn from him how he did it when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord Jesus was betrayed by his own disciples who said they loved him, betrayed by his own people. Remember the Jews, 1 week, say, hail him, he's our Messiah. And then 1 week later he said, nail him, we don't want him. He was rudely roughed up and beaten up by the Roman soldiers who ended up crucifying him. You know what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. In the context, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive the Roman soldiers because they don't know what they're doing. And truly they don't. They're just doing their job. They're just crucifying the Son of God. And Jesus was the one who said, love your enemies. And he's the one who demonstrated it at the cross. Pastor, I can't do that. I say you can. Not in your own strength, but in the strength of Christ. When you spend time with God, I can't forgive this person, but your word says to love him, to forgive him. Lord, I forgive him, but help me. But you know what you need to do after that? Show that you forgive him. Go buy him a coffee. Or get him something. Say, God, I really don't want this, but I'll do it. And then in the next morning, you know, it may be your boss, it may be your friend who backstab you or whatever. And say, hey, I bought a $10 Starbucks voucher for you, you know, for you. The guy will probably look, okay. You know what? In Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We'll talk about that when we reach Romans chapter 12. But if we are saved, we don't have to be controlled by sin. Sin will say, fight back. Grace says, forgive. Sin will say, hate him. Grace will say, love him. Sin will say, in the old nature, sin, you know, it kind of like, you know, the demon angel and the good angel, right? That's real in your heart. Sin will say, hate your parents, teenagers, they don't understand us. Grace will say, thank God for my parents. If I tell you how many people in the world that don't have parents, children, I think you need to be grateful. Grace will say, be thankful. Sin will say, why should I listen to him? Grace will say, I submit to authority because God tells me to. You know what? When you submit to authority, you always win. Always, always win. The Bible teaches us. And number three, last thought. If we are saved, we can walk in newness of life. We can walk in newness of life. In other words, you don't have to keep looking back as in, for some of us may be very convicted by our sin and say, Lord, how can you ever forgive me? You know what God's going to tell you? Hello, you're my child now. Done deal. You're my child. Let's move on. It's been settled. Amen? I don't know all about your past life, but some of you may have a past that you're not proud of. If you have trusted Christ and you have asked God to forgive you, you know what God says? The Bible teaches 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess it, if we are If you're honest with God, say, God, I am wrong, man. I am wrong, and you are right, Lord. I come to you. I acknowledge you, God, but I can't go on because of this. God's going to tell you, I've forgiven you. It's a done deal. Move on. How many of you, when you fall into a drain, will stay there and start crying, oh, poor thing, I'm in the drain. You know, get up. I'm here to help you. Get up. You know, there are many Christians who stay in the drain, the hole, for years, and say, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Christ has saved you. He wants us to walk in newness of life. As we close, Christians, if you're a Christian, you cannot continue in sin. You just cannot. If you don't remember anything, just remember this. Practically, someone has sold his entire possession so that we can be saved. Jesus Christ gave his entire life. He gave up his glory in heaven. He gave us his divinity. He gave up his divine life in heaven. He still have his life on earth, divine life on earth, but he is willing to be constrained by all the human factors. When he died on the cross, remember, he didn't die for himself. He died for us. Jesus died for us. He gave up all for us. He gave up the glories of heaven and everything, all the luxuries. You know, I have this thought that maybe in heaven it's always air-conditioned. But when he came to earth, he got to live in the smelliest table. It's all for us. Christians, we need to know we are Christians. And the next time when we say, but Pastor, I'm human. Understand, I'm going to tell you, you're a Christian. Jesus have done everything for you. You can overcome. No, challenge us. If you're a Christian and you say you're a Christian, but you think that you can continue in sin, I'll ask you to examine your faith. Because after understanding this, when God has put to death that sin, you can overcome that sin if you want to. It's a choice. And I challenge you. No, this next week we'll deal with the reckoning. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the attention of your people. I pray that the truth of the Bible will sink into our Christian hearts, the hearts that you have saved and cleansed. I pray for every believer in Christ that they will understand, Lord, they have been crucified with Christ, they have been spiritually baptized into Christ, and as Christ was nailed to the cross because of our sin, all our sins, when we trusted Christ, was also nailed with him. And as we are dead to sin, we are put in the grave. And when we rise up with Christ, we have newness of life. And then we can walk in the newness of life. Heavenly Father, I pray for every believer to understand this. That Lord, we need to be so grateful for what you've done. What? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can they which are dead to sin live any longer therein? Your eyes closed, heads bowed. No one looking around, please. Let me ask you a question. Do you understand this? Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you, rose again? That when you have trusted him, you dealt with sin. And as a believer in Christ, that life needs to be lived out in holiness and true righteousness. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. And maybe you're here say, Johnny, maybe for the first time I understand I am a Christian. I don't have to sin anymore and I don't want to sin. I seem to have a love for sin, but I don't want to. If there's a believer in Christ, you know you're safe. But you're asking for prayer. I'd like to pray for you that God will anchor this thought in your heart because that's the beginning part of your growing in Christ. Is there someone like that? Just probably your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. That hand. Anyone else? I'll just be praying for you. Amen. I see that hand too. Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I just want to pray for you. Just one more thing. If you're here, you're not a Christian. But maybe for the first time in your life, you realize, you mean Jesus did that for me? I was such a sinner. I mean, I hate Christians. But if the God of the Christians did that for me, I tell you, God so loved the world, he did that for us. And if you say, Brother Johnny, I'd like to find out more. We're not going to force you to be a Christian. We can't. But in your heart, if you say, I want to find out more about this Jesus, would you put up your hand? I would like to pray for you and get a brother or sister to tell you more. Is there someone like that? Is there someone? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for the people who have put up their hands. Lord, only you know why they put up their hands and the struggles they may have. Help them, Lord, to be firm in their faith of being a Christian, that they can overcome the sins in their life. As we look at the Bible, as we look at your power in their life, as we look at the grace, as we look at the things that you put in their lives to help them overcome, I pray, Father, that every one of them that put up their hands, they will live in the newness of life. They will know in their hearts and their mind, I don't have to be controlled by this anymore. I pray that the word of God will be their encouragement, that he that is dead is freed from sin. And thank you, Lord, we are free to live for you. Thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that for your blessings to be upon those who have heard. Lord, if there's someone who don't understand what is happening, I pray that you will speak to their hearts in a special way. And for believers who are struggling with sin, oh God, renew in them again what you have done for them. And that, Lord, we are no longer to live for ourselves, but for you, because you are the one who died for us and rose again. For a Christian who is pressing on despite the trials in their life, help them to glory in this fact of the gospel, that in Christ they have permanent, eternal security. And for a Christian who just wants to press on and thanking God for the things he has in his life, help them to keep close to you, because we can have fellowship, we can encourage one another, but God, only you can strengthen the heart for us to keep pressing on. So thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for all the activities that are going to happen, the meeting, the debrief. I pray that everything we do, Lord, is because we love you. It's because of what you've done for us. It's because of grace, because of all. And Lord, we just want to do this for your honor and glory. And as a result, I pray that some people may come to Christ. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.